Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now it's time for the Friday gathering, and this week I'm joined by Fianna Fáil TD for Wicklow Wexford, Malcolm Byrne, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Rathdown, Sinead Gibney, Dublin reporter with PA Media, Grainne E.A., and Assistant Professor of Economics at Trinity College Dublin, Dr. Bara Rowntree, and you're all welcome. Thank you for being here. Now, we had Micheál Martin over in Paris with his EU counterparts. This is the Coalition of the Willing meeting on Ukraine. And Malcolm, I just wanted to ask you, as a neutral country, was that the right place for Micheál Martin to be this week, particularly when we're hearing such sobering warnings on our own economy and what we might be facing here in days? We're over there as a neutral country with other countries talking about, you know, a defence force on the ground in Ukraine. Is it relevant to us?
So I think we've always made very clear that Ireland is militarily neutral, but we're not politically neutral. And it is correct that we continue to show solidarity, not just with Ukraine, but with the other countries of Central and Eastern Europe who are particularly worried by the increased aggression of Putin's Russia. We're not going to be taking part in any military defence arrangement. But that doesn't mean that when it comes to political cooperation, that we should exclude ourselves. And in fact, Ireland, as you know, has been quite strong at both European, but indeed at international level, in our continued support for Ukraine.
There are some who would argue we should sit those meetings out, unless, of course, we're there to build relationships in the face of what might be coming down the tracks next Wednesday when Donald Trump is expected to announce these tariffs. Maybe there's another agenda there.
Well, it is important because apart from the fact that it is the right thing to do to continue to show solidarity with Ukraine, Russia's invasion of Ukraine and Russia's continued actions in Central and Eastern Europe has implications for energy security. It has implications for global logistics. So as an open trading international economy, it's very important that we are at those tables. But I think certainly when we are going to see possible trade conflicts with the United States, it's important that we work together quite closely with other EU member states. Mm-hmm. The European Union, by sticking together, is in a better place to be able to deal with any threats that may come at a geopolitical level, particularly from Donald Trump.
Well, look, given what we heard this morning on the programme, Barry, I might come to you next. I think a lot of people are really shocked. You know, Pascal Donoghue coming out last night, the dire warnings now that we're having about this, perhaps looking like 2008, what's coming down the tracks. What do you think yourself?
Hopefully not, but it is really, really serious. We're really, really exposed. And I mean, for years, people have pointed out the issues around corporation tax and its over-reliance. And, you know, that might come back to bite us now. But, you know, we are really, really exposed here. And there's not much that we can do.
You see, that's the frightening thing, isn't it? I mean, maybe cozying up to Germany is the best that we can do. They have concerns around their motor industry. They might just back us on pharma. But we're powerless, aren't we?
We are. And again, I'm not sure we're going to find that much sympathy even from Europe in relation to particular.
They never liked
tax.
Our taxation regime.
Yeah, I mean, and we've been doing very well off it, and people have felt their expense. I don't think that's true. But again, like, it's been at the expense of the US, and that's why it's going to go back there. But, you know, but also these things were actually kind of clear before the election as well. I remember being, you know, in here actually talking to you, and also, you know, it wasn't really part of the campaign, or only became part of the campaign at the end. But these were serious issues then, and I don't think parties, any of the parties, not to be, you know, particular as the government or the opposition, but I think all of the parties kind of said, oh no, you know, we'll come to do it and we'll deal with it, and we've dealt with Trump before, but now we're kind of seeing that this really is serious, and you know, it could get really, really bad.
Right. Well, you know, there's some discussion around, will this be as bad as 2008? Is that really what we're facing? What's your own view on how serious it could be for Ireland?
I don't think it's likely to be. 2008 was a very different crisis, and we shouldn't think that we're going to fight the same battles as before, and that's a mistake I think we can often get into. But there are some similarities in the sense that in 2008 we had our tax revenues massively over-reliant on stamp duties and the sale of properties and the rest of that. It's not as likely to fall off a cliff as quickly. You know, it's not going to be the case that suddenly, you know, they're not going to be able to move these factories that they spent billions producing out of the country instantly. It's more going to be, I think, an issue of we're going to stop, going to see less investment. Won't stop, but we'll see less investment. And then there's also a risk that just they start changing the pricing strategies, and that leads to a decline in corporation tax over the next 3 to 5 years. So I don't think we're going to be in the same position. But again, it does mean that we're going to have to look at things which, the, you know, the previous government kicked to touch, the Commission on Taxation and Welfare report, which we had and set out a range of options for broadening the tax base. That's going to have to be back on the agenda, or otherwise we're going to have to get rid of all the various spending commitments that all the different parties wanted to embark on. And so there are really difficult choices ahead, and would it be nice had we had that discussion in advance of the election as opposed to now.
Right. Okay. So the dynamics are going to change. Sinead, in your view, is there anything more that we can do here apart from relying on the EU to forward our case with the United States?
Well, I mean, I do think the EU is the key place for it. And I think the government has, a really important job to play in making sure that Ireland's interests are front and centre in EU negotiations. And we are more exposed than other EU countries. So, as Cian said in the Dáil yesterday, like, it's not necessarily that anything that the government could have done in, that Micheál Martin could have done in the White House would have changed what's playing out now. But that is where we have to levy our influence. That's what we have to do now. Is make sure that the EU is considering Ireland's specific needs in the negotiations that they have.
Peter Brown had that figure earlier when he was in with us at 10 o'clock. Like, the Germans are worried about their 22 billion in car exports, and we're selling 44 billion euro worth of pharma into the United States. I mean, it just really gives you a sense of the scale of this, right?
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, like, it's not a surprise. We knew this was a weakness. We knew that this was something that could be exploited by an actor like Donald Trump. And of course, we know that in his previous iteration, there was a lot of fear-mongering that didn't really play out as heightened as we expected that it would. But we also knew that coming back into power, he was going to have a much more organised administration around him. And that's what he has. Now, I do still think we need to be, we need to assess this. We need to take time and not play out knee-jerk reactions, because the reality is that obviously the US economy is going to be hurting pretty bad as a result of these tariffs. It already is, in terms of kind of what's happening with his other interactions. And the other thing is that he goes back on things, and, we've seen that happen with Canada and Mexico. And he will probably lose at least one of the houses, obviously, in 18 months' time. So, like, there's a limited time in which he can make the impact that he's trying to make by, as the US or the Washington Post said, like, playing out the dumbest trade war in history. So, I think we do have to take our time with it. And I would also say that, and I really feel for people in the pharma sector, people in other sectors who we know are immediate targets, because that's obviously incredibly anxiety inducing to think that your jobs are going to be at risk en masse, and what we can do for it. So I do think as a country we need, and a government needs to consider what supports are going to be put in place for those specific sectors who are going to be impacted.
Broadening the tax base?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, in our election, we were very clear as one of the few parties who said that we do need to broaden our tax base. And obviously the government parties promised to cut taxes. And then just a week before, this was after the giveaway budget, if everyone will remember, they were behaving as if this was the way to go. But then a kind of a week or two right before the election, they kicked in with this, we don't know what's going to happen because Donald Trump might bring about measures. So they kicked in that fear-mongering mechanism to shore up their votes where they thought they were drifting. But we always knew that they weren't going to be able to bring to life these tax cuts that they were promising. That was never, going to happen. And that's what we're seeing. And it's just another U-turn from this government.
So,
like, Occupied Territories Bill and the 40,000 homes that are not being delivered. Mm-hmm. It's just one after the other.
So the charge is, Malcolm, that you only act when you have to. And if things turn now next week, you'll be back saying, well, we can't do the things that we promised in the programme for government. And in fact, we're going to have to increase taxes or broaden the tax base.
Well, the role of government is to respond to whatever comes down the line. So the programme for government is very clear around what we want to set out as a government, and it's an ambitious programme. But when circumstances change, you have to respond to those circumstances. It is certainly the ambition, and it's very clear that this government wants to ensure that work pays, that workers take home as much of their income as possible. If the situation becomes as dire as we fear, and we may not know that that's going to be the case, then we're going to have to respond. And that does mean that governments have to make difficult decisions. And I think what is critical, and I agree with
Sinead, but we're very exposed because we're so reliant on corporation tax. That's the point.
We are, and we need to broaden we certainly need to broaden the tax base. And part of the commitment within the programme for government as well is around increased support for Indigenous SMEs to try to grow some of those companies that we don't be as reliant as we have been on multinational
companies.
It's
harder
which is
to do
critical.
All of that when you're in the teeth of something
this. I appreciate that. And part of the problem is that we're responding to, I mean, Donald Trump is a very transactional president. He made threats against Canada and Mexico. He then moved back from some of that. We're going to have to see how all of this plays out. Where it is critical is obviously that our ministers are present at EU Council meetings over the next number of weeks to be able to negotiate that. And I would hope that Sinead and the others in opposition would facilitate members of government attending at EU Council meetings over the next number of weeks.
Oh, this is the pairing arrangements.
It is critical. This is one of the biggest challenges facing Irish trade right at the moment. It is critical that our ministers, whether it's EU Affairs Minister Thomas Byrne or Enterprise Minister Peter Burke, that they are present at the EU Council meetings over the next number of weeks.
And with the row that's going on, are pairings off the table, just to explain to people?
Well, I would hope, so for those who don't understand what a pair is, that if a government minister is away on government business, generally what will happen is a member of the opposition will facilitate that.
Yeah.
And I would certainly hope that the Social Democrats and others at this critical juncture, where there are tens of thousands of Irish jobs on the line, that they would give a very clear commitment to allow Irish ministers to attend those crucial EU Council meetings.
Sinead, will you do that?
We are going to deal with events as they unfold over the coming days, because obviously Malcolm is throwing this on the opposition when obviously it is of the government's choosing to have created this issue within the Dáil and potentially threaten. Yeah, exactly. And potentially threaten that minister pairing that he's talking about. So the idea that it's our responsibility is quite ridiculous. I mean, what the government has done obviously within the speaking row is tear up a century of democratic principles and conventions within our Dáil. So to put it back on us, I think, is ridiculous. I mean, I think in terms of the respect of our member states within the EU, I actually would have liked to have seen a lot more from Micheál Martin in the White House when Donald Trump just sat there and tore apart the EU and said, Ireland's grand, but it's the EU that's the problem. And I would imagine when you're sitting in those EU Council meetings, there are other heads of state who are looking and going, you did nothing to combat that. You did nothing to defend the EU.
True.
So in my mind, that's actually what's, you know, what the government has to answer for.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we recognise the seriousness of this situation and we will deal with events in the Dáil as they play out. But
okay.
I think to connect the government's ability to influence at EU level with what they have done in terms of creating this crisis within the Dáil
is
ridiculous.
Grainne, we haven't heard from you yet. I mean, I suppose when we hear the warnings from Pascal Donoghue and we hear all of the economists telling us that this is going to be very serious, then we look at what's happening in the Dáil. It's hard to see how it tallies. I mean, is there a question mark over whether our politicians' focus or minds are in the right place?
Yeah, there'll be a crucial moment next Tuesday when the no confidence motion in the Cian Chomhairle happens, and then there will be a moment where a decision can be taken on where the row goes next. Will they leave it, let sleeping dogs lie at that stage, the opposition, and will they continue with the speaking arrangements as they appear to have been passed last week? Will they challenge it in the courts? And will they allow debates on things like tariffs that will come the day after on Wednesday from the US administration? And you know, this whole speaking rights issue is about the power to hold government to account. You can't do that if you're stopping the work of Parliament, the work of the Dáil, and that crucial questions and answers time on what the government does to respond to US tariffs on things like the pharmaceutical industry. That is important work,
mm-hmm.
and nobody is disputing that.
But are you suggesting that the opposition should back down here?
No, there will be a moment where they will decide. I'm not clear on what will happen if that after that motion of no confidence, as we expect it to be, will be defeated by Fiona Murphy because of the Dáil's majority or the government's majority in the Dáil. There are serious issues the opposition have with the clerk's report. Will that legally be challenged? That is also to be decided. At the end of the day, I think there are it is an important issue. You know, a lot of people are saying, can we not move on with this? The way the Dáil functions is so important. And if you go back to Brexit, I covered the House of Commons and the role of Parliament in challenging what governments were doing in relation to Brexit was so important. And it was very clear there how important the Parliament was at pushing back at legislation backstops and things like that the government were proposing. That is what the Dáil needs to be able to do, particularly at such a crucial time for national security, for US tariffs, for things like the housing crisis, where the government's policies are in question. One of the most important things about this debate is leaders' questions and that high-profile slot where people get to ask, the government has said that's not going to change. Fine. Taoiseach's questions comes directly after that, and it is another high-profile slot where government backbenchers, as well as the opposition, get to ask the Taoiseach questions. And it's a collegiate, calm back and forth between opposition and government on what the government is doing. Give me an update on this. That is being halved. That is a legitimate thing for the opposition to question and to go in on and be like, why is this happening? We're down from 90 minutes to 45. Why can't that valuable piece of time be protected, particularly because leaders' questions is so aggressive and pantomime-like. It's very Punch and Judy. It's very sound bites. Taoiseach's questions is much more
measured.
Light rather than heat.
Okay. So, Sinead, what will happen when that motion of confidence in the Ceann Comhairle is passed next week? Because it will be. So what happens after that?
I mean, like, as Cian, our leader, put forward, I do encourage the Ceann Comhairle to really reflect on what's happening right now and what's going to happen, because obviously this is unprecedented. It's entirely new territory. We've never had a vote of no confidence or a vote of confidence brought in the Ceann Comhairle, because even when it was threatened previously with John O'Donoghue,
it didn't happen
because he chose. And that's the point, is that if you don't have the confidence of nearly 50% of the TDs, the Ceann Comhairle, despite the fact that we know now that her being installed in the role was essentially part of this overall deal, despite that, she is supposed to be there to represent all TDs and their interests and the running of it. So the
so
idea
you're saying
that
to
you
her, you should go because the disruption isn't going to end after the vote. Is that what you mean?
No, what we're saying is you should go because you have not followed, you have not been impartial in the way that you have conducted yourself over the course of this.
Mm-hmm. She says she has, and the clerk says she has.
The clerk says, but that, and I have full respect for the clerk and the work that is done in the Dáil by his office. But the report that was put out does not tally with my experience of sitting in the room on Tuesday. I called vote hall. I said the word vote hall. So if the Ceann Comhairle is saying that she didn't hear that, she only has to look. I mean, the order of business. So this is coming down to the point that the order of business was challenged for a vote. And she says, and in the report it said it couldn't have been audible. But you just had to look at the opposition to know that they were calling for a vote, that they were not happy with the order of business proceeding as it was. And you also have to just look at what happens every single week, because every single week there is a vote called on the order of business. So the idea that she rammed that through, what happened was there was a very clear goal in sight, and she, in collusion with the government, worked to get towards that goal and ignored the opposition and our protests for it.
Right.
So I do think she has to
Malcolm,
really consider how she can operate.
You're shaking your head there. I'm not clear what happens. Let's say Breonna Murphy does decide to go. What happens to the deal, the government deal? Because it was part of it, right? It was the first part of it.
Well, I think, first of all, the scenes that we saw this week were embarrassing in a national parliament. And
entirely of the government's making.
One of the difficulties, as we saw, was that every time that Taoiseach tried to speak, he was barracked by members of the opposition. And when the Ceann Comhairle stood, and in line with standing orders, when the Ceann Comhairle stands, every other member is meant to sit and to show respect to the office. That wasn't the case from the opposition. She was screamed and shouted at. It would be unacceptable in any other workforce. You respect the chair. If in the unlikely event a big row broke out on this panel, you as chair would be expected to intervene, and everyone on this panel would be expected there to stay silent.
If there was somebody in this room who felt they were being treated very unfairly, then you would expect all hell to break loose. And the opposition feel that what you're doing is unfair.
Yeah, but let's look at, there are a couple of issues that are connected here. So one, yes, it is about the key question, the key role for the opposition to be able to hold government to account and to ask on the floor of the Dáil to be able to ask questions. That will continue, and that happens. And indeed, part of the problem is that the opposition gets a far disproportionate time to their numbers that are in there. And anyone who looks at TV will see on a weekly basis, it's the same number of individuals who stand up in the Dáil raising questions, often from some of the smaller parties. As a government backbencher, the Sock Dems, for instance, this week had a motion around the triple lock and security and defence. Not a single government backbencher had time to speak on that.
I'm not the Taoiseach
on the Dáil floor, so please don't interrupt me again.
But if you're not there, you can't speak on something.
But we weren't allocated speaking time because the speaking time wasn't there. So let me come to the key about this. there is time, and it is critical in a functioning democracy that the opposition can hold government to account. But what is also important is that the rights of every single TD, whether it's to raise issues on behalf of our constituents, or whether it's my constituents in Wicklow Wexford, are national issues about which I'm concerned, that I have the right to stand on the floor of the Dáil and to be able to raise that, raise those. And the problem is at the moment that for government backbench TDs, but also for those TDs who are not part of a group, it's practically impossible for them to get
speaking
time.
Going back to what you're saying about Micheál Martin, you say he was harassed and harangued every time he tried to stand up. He is arguably the most experienced person in there. Mm-hmm. He is the person who made a key decision during the government formation talks that started all of this.
And there's been multiple off-ramps as well for the government to come off it. They could have recognised the Cairns Quarla decision that the Lowry Group are indeed not opposition. And they could have, at that point, provided speaking rights for the Lowry Group within government time. And this idea that backbenchers don't get time for government, I mean, I've been in there this week when our slots have kind of accordioned because government backbenchers don't show up for their speaking slots within debate.
Sorry,
that is exactly what has happened in my experience this week, Malcolm. So the idea that our time should be encroached on is what is so appalling in this, and that the government has spent all of its political capital on appeasing
Barry. Barry, will you not be sitting back in your chair now and tell me what you think about all of this?
I just really struggle. Like, I mean, there's some important issues here, but just they're pale into insignificance with everything else that's going on. And you just hope that now, again, I think there's faults on both sides, right? They're like, you know, backbenchers should get more speaking time, but it's a bit of a stroke to like bring it in with Lowry. But it just, I really wish
we
wouldn't
get
be taken
with the business. But we want to get on with
it. And I hope
we
do, because again, like in terms of things that we saw, even just domestically this week, I mean, the housing, there's been so many stories this week about how far away we are from treating housing like an actual crisis. You see, like today there's a story about local authorities taking 9 months to approve the names, or in some cases not approve the names of housing estates, and delaying the start of permissions. Ishke Éireann, the water body, saying they don't have a mandate to service new land. And then we have, overarching all of this, the National Planning Framework, which kind of has effectively ended up putting a cap on Dublin's development. That's been kind of hanging over since before the election. And so there's all these really, really pressing issues. And again, it's just, I really wish that there was more discussion of them, and also actually that our media also spent more time discussing them rather than
the reason we can't get past this because we don't have any committees. We
want to set up the committees from next week, and I totally agree. And Grainne's point about the Dáil Chamber, in many ways it is theatre. The real work gets done sitting on the committees. I had the privilege of sitting
not there.
And they will be from next week. And so part of that is over the realm of groups. We need to get it done.
Part of the reason why this is so important, you said you wanted more discussion on housing. This is all about getting these issues aired properly. If you allocate more time to government backbenchers, are we going to hear more questions in the Dáil saying, Taoiseach, house prices are going up, what are you doing to tackle it? Instead of saying more probing questions about the government's actual policy work or direction on trying to
But then also part of, I think, the amount of coverage we get at this, more the print media, I think, than the broadcast, but a lot of it is about, it's a lot easier to file copy about these kind of process stories than about some of the political ones. And again, and I think that is a failing of our in particular, our press media, that they don't cover
these
issues. But
if there's no business being done, you can't write about the business of the committees.
But it doesn't have to be the business of the House. I mean, again, we could be having much more coverage of all the various issues on housing that, again, get kind of, a column or like a small little bit in at the end of the paper or go into the business section. But again, these are just much more important issues. And again,
political journalists are going to write about what is the extraordinary, unprecedented scenes that are happening in Parliament, that it is stopping work like committees
housing
happening.
Housing is the lead story in the Irish Times today. Housing targets at risk due to water supply gaps. To be fair to them, I mean, it is getting covered.
But also in the Irish Times letter section, it is flooded with people talking about the speaking rights row, and people in the general public are absolutely invested in this because they see the injustice, they see the stroke that's being pulled by the government, and they care about it as much as we do in the opposition. I know they don't want to see the scenes that we all saw on Tuesday, and nobody wants to. I found it deeply uncomfortable sitting in that chamber, but this is a democratic principle that is absolutely foundational to our state and how our parliament runs, and we must defend it.
Well, we had a 3-hour Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meeting recently devoted specifically to the issue of housing and addressing it. We had a 2-hour meeting on defence and security issues led by Minister Thomas Byrne this week. So from a policy perspective, we're getting on with that focus.
How long did you spend talking about the speaking row?
I'd say probably that... So Within the parliamentary party meetings, there were briefings that were given by the chief whip, Mary Butler. I'd say there's 20 to 30 minutes talking about some of those issues and the nuance on
it. What was the general consensus? Well, hold firm.
Well, the general view is about government backbenchers want time to be able to express their views, because yes, it is critical, and Sinead is right, government does need to be held to account.
Why are we spending all this capital on Michael Lowry and his independent
We were not happy with the events involving Michael Lowry and Paul Murphy, and that view was very clearly expressed at our parliamentary party this week. But from the point of view of Fianna Fáil, we certainly know we are facing major challenges around housing, and in terms of the geopolitical challenges around trade, that has to be our top priority. And we would hope that the opposition would cooperate with that in the weeks ahead.
It doesn't look like that's going to happen, so we'll have to see what happens, particularly on Tuesday. Thank you all so much for being with us.